another choice to make again. She's my old flame. Be together is our fate.
How we all doing? It's the Conservative Liberal. We're in week 36, 2008. That's the way we do things, if you're familiar with the show. We do everything by the week. Kind of a 60 minutes sort of thing. They're a weekly show. I guess it would be great to be doing something every day and talking about the issues like some of these well-paid guys out there that get to do this every day. But, you know, I'll take what I can get, and hopefully we'll get the listenership, and it'll keep growing. I like to, you know, pick a subject to talk about to start off the show. Then we get into all the, you know, amazing issues of the day and the reoccurring issues of our lives. And we go into current events, and we go into stories of what's happening and all that. But I usually just kind of give like a little bit of a monologue, and I'm going to start right now. And the subject I'm going to talk about is loss. And the reason why is because we, our family, just lost a family pet. And I don't know if you are dog people or cat people, and I know that if you are out there and you've lost an animal, you know what it's like. You've been there. You've done it. People who aren't animal people, who I guess who don't have animals as pets, they don't know what it's like to lose an animal. I wouldn't say that, you know, because they say, well, you know, you can't compare it to losing, you know, a family member or a loved one. And no way would I ever try to do that. But I think every loss is a loss to that person at that time. You know, there's no, you know, justifying it and saying, well, you shouldn't be that sad about it because, you know, it's just an animal. You know, well, when you have a dog, especially a dog, I think, that's been a wonderful animal to you and your family for, you know, 12, 13 years, it's heartbreaking, you know, to see any creature have to suffer and then, you know, pass away. It's you know, it's rough. I've lost family members, uncles, aunts, grandparents. It's all loss is difficult, and there's a mourning process, and you know it just, you know, when you talk about uncles and relatives and people that don't live with you, you know, you don't see them very much, or you see them here and there. It there's a loss, but it's like. It's sad, obviously. It's unbelievably sad when you lose someone. But when you have somebody that's been with you day in and day out, you know, when I say someone, when you have, I don't know if you, can you call an animal a someone? I guess you can. You know, you see him in the morning, and you see him in the evening, and you see him sometimes during the day, and you go for walks, and you play. You have this bond. It's an unbelievable bond. For all those days, weeks, months, and years. And it's just hard, folks. And I, you know, you almost like to say to yourself, well, how do you deal with it? You know, and I say, you know what? You just deal with it. Fortunately for us, we have another dog. So we can, you know, give that dog more love. And that, you know what? That dog is feeling the loss. It's amazing. Those dogs were best friends. And you can see the sadness in the other animal's eyes. What happened to my friend? Where did it go? So, you know, they say, well, you know, you can't replace another animal. Well, we're not replacing, we're adding on. Because those memories are going to be in our hearts forever. So we've decided to get another puppy, looking forward to it. And I don't know if you're familiar with the breed, but we're into Portuguese water dogs. Look into them, they're a fantastic dog. Anyways, what we do here is I play excerpts of the different talk show guys, conservatives and liberals. And I just rip them all apart because I'm looking to be down the middle. And I just haven't found anybody that even comes close, that is right down the middle. And that's where I come in. So we're going to play the guys on the right a little bit more than that, more of the guys on the right, because I just find that they're just more interesting, they're more intelligent, and I agree with them most of the time. The people on the left, I don't know where you guys are most of the time, but I mean, there are points there, and I will try to agree with you when I can, but it's usually, it's an impossible task most of the time. All right, so let's go to our first excerpt. Here we go.
He added that before the Democrat motion to adjourn was adopted, some 100 Republicans, 100, had signed up to speak for 5 minutes each about gas prices, but the adjournment vote precluded that. Nancy Pelosi, if you haven't heard, shut down the House. Turns the C-SPAN cameras off, the microphones off, and the lights off. The Republicans that were there, anywhere between 35 and 40 of them, kept going, demanding the Democrats come back to discuss oil and drilling and gasoline prices. The Democrats skipped town, got on their own private jets, making their own carbon footprint, and flew away. The Republicans are there. This is these kinds of tactics, folks, are exactly what is called for. This is worthy of your support. If somehow find a way to let these guys know that you are appreciative of what they're doing, that they're finally standing up and that they are fighting the Democrat majority on this and taking it to them on an issue that matters greatly to a vast majority of the American people. I want to congratulate them and encourage them to keep up these kinds of legislative tactics. They've been absent for way too long. This is gutsy and it's courageous. And it will stand these guys in good stead. It will inspire their voters. It will inspire them. And you can inspire them by letting them know you appreciate what they are doing.
No way, no how, no drilling. This is my liberal side. I mean, although I think there are liberals out there that think that it's a good idea that we get off foreign oil. I say there's plenty of oil right in our own backyard, Mexico and Canada. And I say do not go in our oceans and ruin them. Because if you ruin the oceans, you ruin mankind. It is serious business out there. I know there's some platforms out there and they're doing okay and they've been safe and you know they got good records or whatever, but the kind of oil drilling that they're talking about, it will just be a catastrophe. And you heard it here first. Come on, people, we got to put on our thinking caps. We're doing it. General Motors is doing it. Got the electric car coming out, the Chevy Volt. You know, people just gonna have to step up and you're gonna have to buy those things. Get some tax, give some incentives, get some tax credits to these people out there that want to upgrade or update. Folks, there's plenty of other alternatives out there and plenty of other options. So we need to go that route. And just be conservative in our usage of this oil. Anyways, let's go on to our next one and see what we got. Here we go.
Honestly, tell yourself and me with a straight face that you would like to move down the ladder of success, not up the ladder of success. I mean, be honest with yourself. I don't care if you claim to be a Marxist because you're an inheritance case or just a loser drug addict who figures that if you can bring it all down, girl, you'll get some of somebody else's spoils. But you'll wind up with nothing anyway. Because I'll tell you a little secret that you losers don't know. Even if communism were to come to America, God forbid it, I don't think it ever will, you'd still be on the bottom. And the very same people who are on the top now would survive and thrive in a communist system, and you'd still be on the bottom being stepped on because you're a dummy. That's all. So don't assume that if you can bring it down, you're going to rise up. You'll still be on the bottom. And the billionaires who are on the top will wind up on the top of the communist system as well because they're smarter than you and they work harder.
It's always going to be that way.
You know, you love to put the fear of God in everybody. I mean, we've had Democrats, we've had Clinton, we've had Carter, you know, pretty bad presidents, especially Carter. Our country never turned into a communist country. It never will. I don't care who's our president. It's just not going to happen. We have a constitution, and, you know, it could be, you know, more of a, turned into more of a socialist kind of state where there's more of a welfare state, and you know, you keep dinging the rich, and you know, you keep, you know, trying to spread the wealth, like, you know, the old Robin Hood theory. But, you know, obviously it doesn't work. It just keeps things going, you know, backwards and backwards. You were correct there that, you know, things will spiral into a, you know, probably some kind of depression if that happens. Because, you know, in a capitalist society, that's where there's growth. There's not growth in anything else. You know, you keep taxing, there's not going to be any growth because people are going to hold on longer to what they have and they're not going to spend. And if there's no spending, people aren't buying things. And if they're not buying things, people aren't making things for people to buy. And people are losing their jobs. Trickle-down theory. Reagan had it right there. All right, let's go on to our next excerpt. Here we go.
Is the very mainstream message of libertarianism.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see this race. Do you see Obama or McCain? I mean, how do you see that matchup? Who do you think will get the better of whom there?
Well, I certainly hope that Bob Barr will get the better of both of them. But the fact of the matter is that Senator Obama, for all of his lack of real substance that he has been able to bring to the equation, does something that Senator McCain has been utterly unable to do, and that is to excite the electorate. Now Sarah Palin may be able to do that to some extent, but you can't rely on a vice presidential candidate to carry the weight of a ticket that is dragged down by a very unexciting candidate and a very, very unexciting, completely lacking message or vision. That's the problem the Republicans have.
So you see Obama over McCain. If it were just the two of them, you'd see it being that being the result.
It'll be a close race, but I'd have to handicap it that way.
Yeah.
But again, we aim to play a very pivotal role in all of this, depending on the number of people that we can reach with our message of smaller government.
Congressman Barr, it was a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
I don't have a whole lot to say about the other parties. You know, you have your Republican Party, you have your Democrat Party. These other parties, your Green Party, your Libertarian Party, complete waste. You know, maybe back in the day, you know, a few hundred years ago, there was, you know, they had some relevancy, but not anymore, folks. So, you know, if these people really got to get behind the big parties, because, you know, your Barr, the guys like this, and your Ralph Nader, those guys got to go and pick their party. And you know, try to get rally around that base and get people to, you know, get those people to maybe help them with some of their issues or whatever. But it's just a complete waste, and it just takes attention away, and it can throw things a little bit. You know, they say that Ralph Nader had an effect on the, you know, the election of, you know, a few terms ago. It's possible. So that's why I think it's just when I say it's a waste, and if I think it's going to have an effect on things, I think it's not a good thing. So let's go on to another excerpt. Here we go.
He hasn't said anything.
Okay, so
I mean, he has, but I think it's been more out of, you know, just to be mean, not because.
You think he mentions your weight solely to be mean?
Before, yes. Now he doesn't.
Now he doesn't what?
Mention.
Now he's not mean anymore? Now he doesn't mention it?
We had a lot of problems before.
Okay, I don't know what that's supposed to mean. How can I help you?
Well, I just... Gosh, I don't even know how to put it.
Well, what is your question?
Okay, well, I want to know what's going on with me, because...
Well, I can't guess that in 60 seconds, sweetheart. I'm not capable of doing that.
I've tried to...
Do you have children?
Yes, I do.
And how old are they?
I have a 14, a 12, a 6, and a 1-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Are they all with him?
Yes.
Is he the father of all of the children?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so you're... I'm lost. I mean, you have a rotten husband who's only mean to you, and you have a lot of problems, but somehow you manage to have sex at least four times, one of them not so far in the distance. So obviously there's affection and sexuality between the two of you. So what is your question for me? He's willing to sleep with you even though you're obese. The man must love you.
Something comes from nothing. In the beginning, through the end.
I don't know. I don't know why these people call these shows looking for help. You know, people don't call these shows. Don't even watch these shows. Well, it's entertaining to see other people in pain, I guess. And listen to people in pain. That's why they do it, folks. They're looking for people in pain. They don't want people calling up that are happy. There's no joy in that. People aren't going to listen to people that are happy and everything's going their way. So people, you are their guinea pigs. They don't know you. They don't know how to help you. But you keep calling. And I think I'd just like to thank you, because if it wasn't for you people in pain calling these shows, we'd have no entertainment out there. All right, let's go on to our next excerpt. Here we go.
And you'd no more like him to be with you now, truly, than you'd like to hold him back from high school or from college or for anything else that he graduated to by keeping him with you. This is his graduation into heaven and to be with the Father, and you have to allow him to go. It doesn't mean you can't smile when you think of him, or you can't be reminded of him in all kinds of ways and things, but the Christian scriptures do not give any leeway or opportunity for those that have passed on and are in heaven to come back and forth.
So just let him go and know that he's with God.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a wonderful thing. It's sad, and of course we're going to miss him here, but ultimately that's how you raised him. Just like you raised him to go to graduate and go into high school and then graduate and go into college, you wanted him to continue to move on in the natural process. Well, it might have come too soon for you, but it came just right for him. And now he's with the Father.
And forever I will stay. We are the ultimate. Being together, we will always be.
That was beautiful, Jesus. You know, I would expect a little bit more compassion and for you to be a little bit more sympathetic for these people and their great loss, instead of talking as if you know for a fact and that you're guaranteed where their loved ones are. You've got to take care of the people here. Make sure they're handling these things okay. We talked about this in the first part of the show about loss. I know that losing an animal is nothing like losing a loved one, a human being, but it all touches us in sort of the same way. It's hard. So, you know, don't go off thinking that, you know, when you lose somebody, no matter who that person is or what the animal is, where they're going to go. They don't know where they're going. You just pray that they're going to the right place, and that's what I do. I pray that my animal, my dog, went to the right place, and that one day, wherever that place is, I'll be able to see her there. I think that would be a wonderful thing. If that's not the case, then I go somewhere else and we never get to see each other again. That's sad, but that's life and death. All right, we're going to go on now and talk about the current events of the day. We talked about the loss. We talked about what a struggle that is. We talked about how to deal with that, or how I deal with it. And hopefully, you know, there's a message there. I want to talk about this pick by McCain here, this Palin woman. You know, what happened to the Republican Party? What happened to true conservatism? What happened to the Barry Goldwater conservatives? I know there are people out there that think that they are. They walk around high and mighty and say, hey, we're Barry Goldwater conservatives. You know what? You are if you leave religion out of it. And then that goes, and that points in the direction of abortion. Now, I am totally for pro-life in that, in the sense that for a third trimester baby. That's murder. Now, it all comes down to, well, where does life begin? Is it conception? People, there are 8 billion people on this planet. Okay? You know, that's a lot of people we're trying to support. Now, if there are unwanted pregnancies and people don't want to have their babies, do we want to go back to the day where women were going behind back alleys and sticking coat hangers in themselves to try to kill these babies? Or do we want to perform these abortions in a safe and legal way? I say it can't be done by the state, because it's just, we are the United States, and there are certain things that need to be federal. Now, this is my liberal side speaking, folks. I'm a conservative, true at heart, independent in a lot of ways as well. Strong military, low taxes, capitalism, but let women make these hard choices for themselves. And us men out of there, we gotta mind our own businesses. So that's why I get really concerned when we have a real religious person, and I think religion is great. I mean, religion is good. It's good to have faith, but you have to have that separation of church and state. It's in the Constitution. All right, enough said there. All right, let's talk about weather. Weather happens. We got some hurricanes. They're hitting the East Coast. It's unbelievable what's going on out there. It's just one after another. What's causing all this? Oh, well, you know, ask Al Gore. He'll say it's global warming. Who knows what's causing it? We've had hurricanes since the beginning of time. We just need to prepare for it, folks. They're very dangerous, scary things. But those of us who live in certain areas have to be mindful of what we have to deal with. I'm in California. We don't have, hurricanes per se, but we have earthquakes, so we have to prepare for that. So wherever you are, and whatever's in your way, whenever you're in harm's way, all you can do as a human being is to try to be, to protect yourself and your family. And whatever that entails, having the right supplies, having the right contacts, being prepared. You know, the Boy Scouts motto, be prepared. Well, I think we're coming to an end of this show. We're ending this show a little quicker than usual. Usually like to run this show about 30 minutes. I'm kind of still in the morning stage. I just feel like I just don't have it like I usually do. That's why I'm cutting it a little bit short. But I hope we've covered some good ground here, made some good points. And I really appreciate you all sticking with us tonight or this week. And, you know, you don't have to listen to the show in one sitting, you know. You can break it down. Just reload it and, you know, pick up where you left off. Hopefully there'll be something in there for you. All right, we'll see you next time, and God bless.